Yesterday afternoon, our family had a wonderful family celebration as we were celebrating the 75th birthday of my mom, Liddy. And I'm sure she doesn't mind me telling you that. And this birthday celebration at one level represents the celebration of a single life. A baby girl born to Clyde and Annie Earline Oaks in Roanoke County, Virginia, down in the hollow between a couple of mountains on June the 13th, 1940. A baby girl who would grow into adulthood, who would marry and eventually conceive five sons. But we cannot talk about or celebrate Mom's life in a purely singular and individualistic way, apart from the communion of a whole family which derives from her motherhood, a family which has grown from five sons to a large family which includes daughters-in-law, grandchildren, and now even great-grandchildren, and even adopted sons and daughters. So as the matriarch of our family, yesterday's celebration didn't just celebrate a singular life of 75 years, but it celebrated really a whole family. A whole family bound together in a common heritage and in a shared communion of motherhood, whether by blood, by incorporation into the family through marriage, or by adoption. Indeed, yesterday's celebration, while honoring the 75 years of Mom's life, also celebrated a whole family, a whole body of children brought to fruition through the sacrifices and faithfulness of a mother, of a woman that we call Mom or Grandma or Mama. This is illustrative of what we celebrate today, the body of Christ. The Sunday in the octave of Corpus Christi being Latin, meaning literally the body of Christ. For it is by the body of Christ that we share a common communion, a common spiritual heritage, and indeed a common life of faith in Him who willingly offered His life, His body, as a holy sacrifice for our salvation. In fact, as a people of faith, our identity is so united with the body of Christ, that we ourselves are called the body of Christ. We see this throughout scriptures, especially the Pauline scriptures. We are known as the body of Christ, the church. We have become by grace and adoption that which unites us in common communion and faith, the holy and precious body of Christ. The body of Christ. So this morning, I want us to understand the wondrous and the marvelous implications of this reality, which is multi-layered and sweeping for those of us who share in this holy communion. First, this whole notion of the body of Christ presupposes the incarnation, the truth that God became flesh, that in Jesus Christ, God has shared in our humanity and all that entails. Jesus Christ was conceived. He was actually conceived. He was born of the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, the Mother of God. He was nurtured and loved and raised by loving earthly parents, Joseph and Mary. And as He lived this life on earth, He learned the trade of a carpenter. He would experience hunger and thirst. He would grow tired and weary just as we do. Jesus was baptized. He was tempted. And he suffered in every way that we do. In short, the humanity of Jesus wasn't just apparent. It wasn't a veneer of humanity that just covered up his divine life, but it was real. From the moment of the incarnation, his humanity was intrinsic to his divinity and inseparable from it, as it remains so today and forever and ever. The God-man. Not just God, but the God-man. The mystery of the incarnation. The body of Christ. The body of Christ, we must understand, is a tangible, pulsating, living body with arms and legs and feet and blood and bones and organs that shares in every way with our created bodies and humanity. This is important for us to realize and to acknowledge, especially as there is a tendency to over-spiritualize our faith or to minimize the physical and earthy and created dimensions of our faith and our humanity. You see, we are indeed spiritual beings, created with an eternal soul, but a soul which animates our body through the Holy Spirit and serves as the essence of our personality. But this is inseparable from the fact that we are also created with flesh and blood and bones and organs. We, unlike the angels, are embodied beings. The angels being bodiless beings. To miss this is to go down the road of minimizing or even denying the sacramental nature of our faith. Because of the incarnation, by the means of the body of Christ, the grace of God and his healing presence becomes manifest in the common elements of life. Even at the time of Jesus, there were followers who had problems grasping this. The gospel lesson this morning from John chapter 6 reveals this. As he's teaching his disciples, and he says in John 6, beginning in verse 56, he says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Now, the Greek word here for eats, to eat, in verse 56, is the word trogo, which literally means to gnaw, to crunch, to chew, as in chewing nuts or raw vegetables, or as an animal might chew on a bone. It's a very carnal term. It's trogo. And this word would not have been used in the Greek had there not been a literal meaning behind what Jesus was saying. And even in the Aramaic, it was not misunderstood, because Jesus is saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. But in so doing, he says, he who feeds on me will live because of me. And how do we know that Jesus was being so literal here? If we were to read on beyond our gospel pericope this morning, Jesus, it's recorded by John, beginning in verse 60, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And then verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." This is tragic that these disciples, these men and women who had previously followed Jesus, who had given their lives to him in submission to his teaching and his authority, heard what Jesus was saying, to eat his flesh, to drink his blood. They couldn't understand it. They didn't have an incarnational worldview. They didn't understand that there was something about the body of Christ, the very body of Christ, his flesh and his blood, that communion was established through it, that by consuming, by partaking of that body and blood, they would know life eternal. But instead of receiving this truth, this reality, the disciples departed. And so it is that we abide in a Christian world, especially in many sectors of Protestantism that have no category for the sacramental, where the faith is simply spiritualized, where there is a faith in Christ, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, but only looking at the Eucharist as simply a memorial, simply as an ordinance, failing to understand that there is a mystical and sacred thing that is happening, that through the Holy Spirit, common bread and common wine truly become the body and blood of Christ. To eat, to gnaw, to partake of his body and his blood. And it is therefore through this physical body of Christ that the rest of life becomes a sacramental. We see that even in crossing ourselves, making the sign of the cross, there becomes a grace. It's not a superstition. I was just recently reading an article regarding Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Protestant Lutheran pastor who was martyred during the Nazi occupation of Germany. And even Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Protestant, understood something about the sacramental nature of crossing yourself, of making the sign of the cross, and recognizing that an inward faith becomes manifest in an outward, invisible way, whereby making the sign of the cross says with my body, I have died to Christ. I live in him because he abides in me, in a communion, in a physicality of life that is aligned to the spiritual, that is intrinsic to the spiritual. We cannot separate the physical life from the spiritual because of the incarnation, because of the body of Christ. Well, secondly, the body of Christ identifies our true being, our true identity as believers in corporate union. Christianity, make no mistake, Christianity is not an individualistic faith. Yes, we come to faith in Christ in a very personal way. We come to faith in Christ through a very personal decision. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we do so not in order to live the life of faith individualistically, but as the body of Christ. St. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Now notice Paul doesn't say that our individual identities, our individual personalities are absorbed and lost and swallowed up in the body. Rather, he says, now you are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So by means of the body of Christ, we find our true identity. We become the body of Christ. And yet we are individually members sharing in a common communion. Not only a communion with Christ, but a communion with each other. Just as the cells of a body are joined together as one living organism, subsisting in interdependent relationship upon one another, we too do not consist individually as a single cell, but as members collectively in one body, the body of Christ. You know, as and let me add also a couple of other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, St. Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Colossians 1, 24, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church," the ecclesia, the church, the gathering, the coming together of the faithful in communion with Christ, in communion with one another, as through the body of Christ we are called into a relationship of union with our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As members of the body of Christ, we must be careful not to make the church, that is the body of Christ, an idol. And what do I mean by that? Are we capable of making the church an idol? I think the answer is yes. As we look at the Pharisees in Scripture, we very much are capable of this. We can lose sight of the head, that which joins together all of us in this communion. Especially for those of us who have come into the Orthodox faith, it is easy for us to become triumphalistic and prideful. It is easy for us to become so wrapped up in the dogma and the doctrines and the teachings of the church and the canon laws of the church. It is easy for us to hide behind our religious piety and spirituality such that we forget about Jesus, about him who calls us together in union with himself and with one another. We can lose sight of our mandate to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And in so doing, we make the church an idol. So we are not called in individualistic faith, but rather into the body of Christ, the Corpus Christi, such that we serve him who is the head, making visible and incarnate his body to the world, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and proclaiming salvation to all. Well, thirdly, it is by the body of Christ that we eucharistically share in a life of divinity. Again, from our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." He who eats this bread will live forever. Remember that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We are called to a life of Eucharistic living, to share in a life of the divinity. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, St. Paul writes, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." What Paul is talking about here is not just simply the historic moment of Christ offering his body as a sacrifice upon the cross, but he's saying that we will have been sanctified through this offering. through the breaking of Christ's body, the bread of life, once for all, that by entering into this life of sanctification, by living in a life of Eucharistic living, of giving our whole lives as a prayer of thanksgiving to our Lord, we abide in the body of Christ, that by the body of Christ, by His offering, by the breaking of the bread, we are not only memorializing, but we are making manifest that once for all reality, that once for all sacrifice, whereby Christ the High Priest entered the Holy of Holies. Entered the Holy of Holies. And unlike the blood of bulls and goats that would not atone forever, it is the once for all sacrifice of Christ by which we are saved, by which we are sanctified, such as that when the priest ascends the altar, praying the prayer that Christ would cleanse me from all stain of sin and entering the Holy of Holies, the priest does so not to once again sacrifice the body of Christ, but to make manifest to in a way that Christ's broken body is eternally made manifest, transcendent of time and place, in a way in which He feeds you and me the bread of heaven, the bread of healing and salvation, His blood, which cleanses us from all sin and stain of sin. That is why St. Paul, in the epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians 11, warns us that we do not approach this in the cavalier manner. We do not do so without proper self-examination. For to do otherwise is to treat holy things in an unworthy way. St. Paul, in fact, says to approach the holy mysteries, the body and blood of Christ, unworthily, without proper examination, without proper preparation, is to eat and drink damnation upon ourselves. But to do so in a way which the church, the body of Christ, which Christ Himself prescribes, is the way of salvation. It is the communion of the body of Christ to which we have been called. May we who have been defined, may we who have been joined together by the body of Christ, approach His body, His broken body, His holy body, with fear and reverence, trembling, but with thanksgiving, so that we ourselves may offer our lives as living sacrifices, proclaiming the communion of our Lord, proclaiming His death and His resurrection until He comes again. Let us give thanks for the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.